All names, characters, events, and times are strictly coincidental and completely dreamed up by our subconscious. Dreams can be influenced by personal experiences and the media. However, the events in our dreams are completely ours. Some dreams may be upsetting or disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Thanks for joining us, and remember, it's just a dream.
Welcome back to It's Just a Dream, the podcast where we share our dreams and sometimes even analyze yours. My name is Hawa, and thank you so much for joining me tonight as I tell you another one of my crazy dreams. I really appreciate it. Hello, 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 my beautiful sun, moon, and stars. How are you? I hope you're having an amazing day, night, evening, afternoon, whatever time it is when you're listening to this. I'm just so glad that you're here with me tonight. Hey, how are you, schmuckums? I'm sorry, I wanted to try something new. I feel like I'm very repetitive in routine. I don't even mean to do it. I just kind of do it. So I thought I'd do something new. Hey, sorry, this is awkward, right? Okay, I'm gonna stop. Hey, how are ya? I hope you're having a good day, an amazing day, a phenomenal day, taking care of yourself and others, all of that jazz. I'm doing pretty good. Also, Eid Mubarak to all my Muslim listeners and my non-Muslim listeners. I'm pretty sure by the time this episode comes out, it will be Eid, or Eid has already passed. I'm gonna do my Eid henna, and maybe I'll post it on my Instagram at _ It's Just a Dream podcast if you want to see it. I usually always do henna for Eid. I'm pretty good at it, but like, I'm not like those girlies who do like, oh, like the beautiful, amazing, intricate henna. Mine's very basic, but I love doing henna regardless. It's really fun. Anyways, I have had a good start to my week. I cooked a vegan dish for my neighbors and my white parents. It's a long story. I have two sets of parents, my regular parents, and then my white parents, who are just like my family friends who took me in and basically treat me like their daughter, basically, me and my sister. So we're like their fourth and fifth children, basically. But my white dad, he has a lot of allergies. And so I made him this stew that he used to love, but he couldn't eat it anymore because it's like traditionally made with like chicken. And so I made a vegan version of it and sent it his way, and he was very happy about it. And I also sent that same stew to my neighbors because they're vegetarian. I actually have a lot of friends who have like dietary restrictions, so I'm trying to learn how to cook like authentic Gambian food that's like friendly for them so they can like eat it, because I want them to enjoy it and I want it to taste really good and taste exactly like how it's supposed to taste without, you know, killing them, you know. So yeah, I did that. I was very proud of myself. And I also had a job interview for my uncle's grocery store. He opened a grocery store, and honestly, I really love my uncle because I think he's very inspiring. He opened this grocery store specifically to put in like food deserts in our town, so that way people have an option to get really cheap groceries that are good quality and that are like healthy for you, instead of having to resort to like go to like a fast food chain or like, you know, eat like gas station food. They have the option to get healthy food. So I had an interview there. I told my uncle to just hire me because I'm like, he needs like cashiers and stuff. And I was like, okay, just hire me. I have like an extensive like history of being a cashier. I have like an extensive history of being like working in customer service, like I'm very experienced in this, and you're very understaffed. And when I mean very understaffed, I mean there's literally only one other guy working there. So I was like, yeah, let me work there. I'm also like fluent in both English and Fula. Well, kinda in Fula, but that's a long story. But I am fluent in those two languages and I understand Mandinka. So like, hire me. And he was like, no, like I wanna hire you, but like I can't just like hire you without like going through the process, you know? Like that would be like nepotism. I was like, girl, I appreciate like your concerns and wanting to do it, and I'm gonna go through the process, but like this isn't like a CEO of a like famous company hiring their like daughter, you know? Like I'm qualified, like don't worry about it. But I did everything. I'm like 99% sure I got the job because they like showed me around everywhere and like showed me how to use like the cashier system and everything, and gave me all their little secrets. And if they didn't hire me, I'm going to send his older sister to his house so she can scold him. Yeah, I'm going to pull that card. Yeah. Okay, nepotism, nepo-schmism. Okay, give me the job. But yeah, that's how my day's going so far. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Oh, dude, I actually, before we get into it, I'm going to put a poll down below. I need to know, did you guys get weird dreams because of the eclipse? Let me know, because I had the weirdest dream. I might do a bonus episode. I'm going to be doing a lot more bonus episodes because I caved in and bought a 1 month subscription to Zencastr. I didn't want to. It's freaking expensive. It's way too much money. But I'm just like, I did it. So I'm going to get my money's worth. So be on the lookout for a lot more bonus content on the podcast. But I had the weirdest dream. It was so strange. Let me know if you guys had any. Also, I was so sleepy. I don't know. I could not stay awake. I'm very lucky I did not have to work today because I like literally could not stay awake at all. I didn't watch the eclipse. Like, I watched like a YouTube video, like a live stream for like 5 minutes, and then I went to bed because I didn't care. I didn't really care that much about it. They always say like, oh my god, these eclipses are like once in a lifetime. But like, I'm pretty sure I've experienced the eclipse before in like 2018 and like before that as well. So I understand. Listen, hey. I understand that the path that this eclipse is taking is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's not going to happen again for 380 years. I get it. I understand. I just don't care. It's okay if you do. I love that for you. Me personally, I didn't really care that much. But yeah, let me know if you had any weird dreams. I want to know. And now let's get into today's episode. In today's episode, dun, 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 we are going back to our roots, baby. Woo! We're going back to our roots. We're doing a dream that brings back old characters. If you are an avid listener to this podcast, you will know that me and Elle had a bunch of dreams that had this like cast of characters. And these people were just people that were in our lives at one point, like just very constant, and they like kept showing up in all of our dreams. And a lot of times they were kind of just like a face, and they would like mold depending on the story. So for example, in some stories, Clementine would be like my best friend, my ride or die, and some stories she'd be like the actual like villain and antagonist of the story. In some stories, Zion would be like, I'd hate Zion and I'd want to fight him. And then in some stories, in some dreams, like we were like lovers, right? That does not mean I am in love with Zion in real life, like the person who Zion actually is, or I actually hate him in real life. That's just how he appeared in the dream. I want to make this very clear. This is just a dream. Everything that happens in the dream happened in the dream. None of the stuff that is happening in this dream happened in real life. I just want to make this very clear. No matter how similar what I'm talking about in this dream, and how realistic it sounds, it did not happen in real life. It only happened in this dream. The actions that these characters take in the dream and what they do does not represent the actual people in my real life, right? If anything, it represents me, because all of them are just aspects of my subconscious. So really, it's telling you more about me than it is about you, okay? I just have to make that very clear, despite the fact that I literally have a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode, because I know there's going to be that one person who's going to try to take things out of context and can't read in between the lines and just want to make that very, very clear. Okay? Okay. Anyways, this dream I had around the summer of 2020. This is like around the era where me and Elle were just having a bunch of these dreams with these characters. The characters are as followed. If you're, again, an avid listener, you know these characters. Winter, Clementine, Caden, Zion, Peach, Adam, you know. If you know, you know. Those characters showed up a lot in both of our dreams. And a lot of times they weren't acting like themselves. They were just like a vessel. And they're a vessel in this dream too. This dream is kind of like a murder mystery dream. It's heavily inspired by this, I don't even know what to call it. It's like not a book. I think a visual novel, maybe, that like I read, and I didn't even read the whole thing. I think I read like the first 5 chapters and gave up on it. So definitely like the first part of the dream, like the very beginning part of the dream, is inspired by that visual novel, and the rest of it just kind of goes crazy, goes wild, you know. I would also say this dream is very similar to another dream that I had that I also shared on the podcast called Locked In. I do not remember what episode that is, but it's very similar to that, where it's kind of like slice of life, melodramatic with a twist. So yeah, I think that's everything you need to know about this dream. Let's just get right into it. By the way, I'm doing a sheet mask right now. So if you want to join me and we can have a little skincare sleepover moment, go ahead. But you don't have to. What sheet mask I'm doing, because I know you're so interested, thanks for asking. It's a Hello Kitty sheet mask, obviously. I got a bunch of them for my birthday, and I love them. Anyways, the dream starts with me going through my evening routine sometime in the future. I want to say I was like in my 30s in this dream, like early 30s. I had a husband. I know, that's how you know it's a dream. Anyways, I had a husband. His name was Arthur. Very, very sweet. And we were just getting ready for like just unwinding for the day, right? He was in the kitchen making tea and I was going through the letters, because we had this giant stack of letters because we had just came back from a trip. So I was going through these letters as he was making us tea, and I was just talking to him. We were giggling, chatting, you know the deal. As I go through the letters, they're mostly just like bills and like ads, but one letter sticks out to me. It's a very weird letter. It has no like return address or anything. It just says for Howa, right? And so I'm like, this is weird. And so I open the letter and it informs me that one of my teachers from college had passed away. And I am very distraught at this letter. This specific teacher, we're gonna call him Mr. Turner. I love Mr. Turner. I love Mr. Turner so much. He means the world to me. And in this dream, Mr. Turner and I had a very close relationship even after college. Like, we would have like a monthly Zoom call together. And every month we would do a little Zoom call. It would like range from time to like 15 minutes to like 3 hours, right? Of just talking and catching up. I'd ask him for his advice and wisdom, because he was just like a fountain of knowledge, and I loved that about him. He was also very blunt, and not in the blunt, like rude blunt, but like a genuine blunt person. Because sometimes people say that they're blunt, but they're not actually blunt. They're just an asshole, and they're just saying that they're blunt to be an asshole. But he was like actually very blunt, but very kind with his bluntness. All of that jazz. And so we would Zoom, and I'd always check in on him, and I'd always send him emails, and he'd always send me emails back. And we had a very close relationship after college. But because of this trip that I went on with my husband, I couldn't do our monthly Zoom calls because we went on this trip for about like 3 months. I think we went back home to Gambia. I took him home to Gambia to like meet my family and everything. And like Wi-Fi there is not really great. So I wasn't able to do any Zoom calls with him, unfortunately. And I was planning, before I even got this letter, I was planning to message him the next day and be like, hey, like I'm back from Gambia. Like let's like catch up. Like maybe I can like get you dinner and we can just talk, something like that, right? So I'm very distraught about hearing that Mr. Turner has passed. And especially the way that he passed. In this letter, it says that he died in a robbery gone wrong. And I'm just like, I can't believe it. But I'm also a little bit skeptical because the way the letter was sent to me, like it was sent in a very crude handwriting, very rushed, you know, like the letters were kind of smeared. So I didn't believe it, right? So I went on my phone to check, and sure enough, my college posted a little post with Mr. Turner's photo with a message that said, like, we regret to inform the inter-college name community. I've said the college I went to a couple times, and like if you really wanted to know, you would find it, but I'm gonna start censoring myself because you know. But yeah, they're like, we regret to inform the Snoopy Doopy community that Mr. Turner has passed away and stuff. And the moment I see that, I immediately break down into tears. And my husband runs out of the kitchen. He's like, oh my God, what is it? And I can't even like get my words out. I'm so upset. And so he comforts me and he sees Mr. Turner has passed. And he also starts crying because like I kind of treated Mr. Turner like my dad a little bit. Like I introduced him to my husband. I told him about him like when I started dating him and stuff. And he's like, oh, well, I have to meet him before you can marry him. As a joke. And then like I invited Mr. Turner to my wedding, like all of these things. And so we're both really upset. And so I look back on the post and I see that they're going to hold a memorial for him. There was a church by my college. It was a very beautiful church. And they were going to hold a memorial there. And I look at my husband and I'm like, I want to go to the memorial. Can we go? And he's like, of course, dear, of course we can go. And so we head to the memorial. And the whole process of us heading to the memorial, I felt weird. I felt off about going to this because I kind of like all my friends that I made in college, I kind of stopped talking to them and everything. I wasn't exactly close to any of them after we graduated. And I just felt like it was going to be a little bit awkward, you know? It also felt a little weird because I had never actually been to a funeral. It said memorial, but, like, it was a funeral. And they were going to have his, like, body there. It was going to be closed casket, which made me extra upset because I was like, oh, my God, like, that robbery must have been so violent. Like, they had to do closed casket. But I was feeling a little awkward about it because, and I don't know if this is true, so if you are a Muslim sun, moon, and star, let me know, because this could not be true and this could just be like a cultural thing. But I was always told growing up that women are not allowed to go to funerals and women are not allowed to go to graveyards because they're like, mind you, the teacher who worked at the mosque, he was weird. He said a lot of weird messed up things about what women can and can't do. One of them was like, we weren't allowed to wear perfume because one, the alcohol and perfume was going to make us drunk and like we would do things that we would regret, and two, like it's not good for a woman to smell too good, because if a man smells a woman that smells too good, you can't blame him for the actions he takes next. That's weird. He also told us we're not allowed to wear like colorful hijabs. Like, because I used to wear very colorful hijabs, and a lot of the girls who went to my weekend school wore colorful hijabs. And I remember this so clearly, him telling us that we're not allowed to wear colorful hijabs because if a man decides to assault us or SA us, it's our fault because a colorful hijab is inviting. Yeah, he was a weirdo. He's a freak. I do not wish him well. Do not wish him well at all. But I remember him telling me that women are not allowed to go to funerals. They're not allowed to go to graveyards of the people who passed because their cries sounded like dying goats, and it would be unpleasant for the men to have to hear that. Now that I said it out loud, I don't think it's true. I don't know for sure. I might do some research afterwards. But that's what I grew up with. I grew up being told that women are never allowed to go to funerals. And throughout my life, when people have passed, I've never went to the funeral. I've always gone to the service afterwards. But I've never gone to an actual funeral before because it was ingrained to me that like women are not allowed to go to funerals. So I was a little bit nervous to go there because I was like, oh, like I can't, like technically I shouldn't be going there, but like I have to go there. I just have to go there. You know what I mean? And I remember even like in the dream, I kept telling myself, like trying to convince myself, like, oh yeah, it's gonna be okay to go. But I'm like, oh, it will only be okay to go if I don't cry in the building. Like as long as I'm there and I'm quiet, it will be like okay. Like I can cry outside of the building, but I can't cry inside the building, which is, I think, is kind of crazy to say to someone who's mourning, to be like, don't cry. It's unpleasant for other people to hear. I know people do say that because I've been experiencing grief. I mentioned this a couple times. I lost someone very, very, very close to me. And I've experienced like the first 3 days after this person passed, someone in my family told me to get over it. Yeah. So I'm not surprised people say that, but like, that's just fucking insane. Anyways, so me and my husband, we pop on a flight to my old college town. We book a hotel, and originally I was going to have my husband come with me because I wanted the moral support, but for some reason the school wouldn't allow us to bring plus ones, which is really weird. And so he was like, oh, it's fine, like I'll just wait for you in the hotel after. I'm gonna get you your favorite meal, and we can watch Lab Rats. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yep, we can watch all three seasons back to back, don't worry babe. And I'm like, yay, I love Lab Rats. It is the best show ever created in the entirety of this world. It is amazing. It is a cultural reset. Like, I could talk about Lab Rats. I could do a whole bonus. Maybe I will do a bonus episode that no one will listen to, where I just spend like 6 hours talking about how amazing Lab Rats is and go through each episode to tell you how amazing this show is. Because it is that amazing. It's that good. I love Lab Rats. Anyways, so I'm like, thanks, babe. I love you. Kiss him goodbye. And I head to the church. I pick up some flowers on the way there from this shop. And I used to always get flowers from this shop whenever I wanted to get someone flowers. So like, I pick up some flowers there and I like break down a little bit because I'm like remembering my college days and everything. And that's where I bump into the first person, which is Winter. And so I bump into Winter, and I honestly thought this interaction was going to be really awkward because back in college, me and Winter weren't that close. I was more close with Clementine than I was with Winter. So I thought it was gonna be really awkward, but the moment we saw each other, we immediately recognized each other, and she's like, how? And I'm like, oh my god, Winter. And we run and hug each other and just break down. Just break down and start crying. And she's like, I can't believe Mr. Turner. And I'm like, I know. We talk for a little bit, we catch up, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, like I came here to buy some flowers for Mr. Turner. And I was like, oh my God, shut up. I just bought some flowers too. And she's like, oh my God, will you come with me to like the flower section? Like, I want to pick out the perfect bouquet. So I go with her. She finds the perfect bouquet. She's about to grab it only for someone else to grab it. And she whips around to be like, hey, like, I want that bouquet, only to see Clementine. And Clementine looks at her and then looks at me. And she's like, no way. Did you guys also come to get flowers? And we're like, yep. And so we all, the three of us hug, we're reunited. I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward with Clementine than it was with Winter. But we like all reunite, we hug, we cry some more about Mr. Turner, and we go get some food. Specifically, we went to the spot that we used to always go to. Like after class, if we were like, if it was like the in the middle of the night and we wanted food, we'd always go to this little restaurant that was near our dorm rooms. So we went there and we ordered what we usually ordered, and we were eating and just talking, reliving our favorite memories of Mr. Turner and what type of person he is and everything. And Clementine is like, yeah, I can't believe he took his own life. And I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? She's like, yeah, I can't believe, like, I never noticed the signs. He was always so happy. And I'm like, he didn't take his own life. She's like, what do you mean? That's what the letter said. And I'm like, that's weird. I got a letter from at my house saying that he was killed in a robbery. And Winter looks at me kind of confused and looks at Clementine. She's like, I also got a letter, but it said he died in a hit and run. The three of us look at each other and we're like, okay, that's weird. And Clementine's like, well, like, I'm pretty sure it was probably a suicide and they just didn't want to, like, let us know, right? To, like, save face. And I'm like, no, it couldn't have been. Like, I talked to Mr. Turner, like, 3 months before he passed. Like, he didn't have any signs or anything, like, I would have known, right? And Clementine's like, really? That's you guys? I didn't know you guys stayed in touch. And I was like, yeah, we always stayed in touch. Like, he came to my wedding and everything. And Clementine's like, I wasn't invited to your wedding. And I was like, well, I tried to invite you, but you never responded. And she's like, sorry, my bad. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm not mad at you. It's just, you know, I'm just saying it couldn't have been that. Like, maybe it was something else. Maybe they didn't know the cause of death or anything, and they were just trying to come up with a solution. I don't know. Let's not dwell on it. And so Clementine and Winter agree with me, and so we decide not to really dwell on it. But just put a pin on that. Okay, my son and stars, put a little pin on that. By the way, I took off my face mask, so if you're wearing yours, you should probably take yours off too. So we finish eating, and we head to the church. And we stand outside of the church for like a good 10 minutes because, like, obviously we want to go to the memorial and pay our respects to Mr. Turner, this teacher who like changed our lives. But we also didn't want to step into the church because stepping into the church means that it's real. You know, like out here we can continue to deny and like speculate and everything. But the moment we walk in there and we see the casket, like, it's real. All of it's real. And so we did not want to walk in there. And so eventually Clementine's like, okay, let's do this. And she holds my hand and she holds Winter's hand really firmly. She's like, you guys ready? And I'm like, yeah, we're ready. And we walk into the church and we find our seats near the back, and we watch people file in. A lot of these people were in our classes or just like in the school around the same time. A lot of the people we didn't recognize. We had no idea who they were. Some of them were alumni, some of them were just friends. Like, one thing that remained true was that church was packed to the brim with people. And it made me a little emotional, but I told myself I wouldn't cry, but like, it made me emotional because I'm like, wow, if only Mr. Turner could see like the impact that he like put out and how many people came to pay their respects. Right. And so as we sit in our seats waiting for the service to start, Clementine all of a sudden hits my shoulder really hard. And I'm like, ow, what? And she's like, look over there. And she like tilts her head and I'm like kind of confused and I'm like, what? And Winter looks in the direction that she's tilting her head and she goes, oh my God. no way. And I'm like, what? And so, like, I'm trying to look, but I can't see what they're pointing at. They're like, Hawa, right there. And I turn and I see what they're pointing at. They're pointing at two guys, Caden and Zion. And I roll my eyes and I look back down at the pamphlet that I got, just like celebrating Mr. Turner's life. But Winter and Clementine just start whispering to each other and being like, oh my God, I can't believe they're here. And Winter's like, of course they're going to be here, Clemmy. Like, they were just as impacted by Mr. Turner as we are. And she's like, I know, but like, still, especially in that suit. God, Zion looks so good. I'm so mad that he looks good. Do I look good? Maybe I should walk past him. And I'm like, Clementine, seriously? We are at a memorial right now. We are at a funeral. No. Now is not the time to thirst over that guy. Besides, did you forget about the Coney Island trip and what they did to you guys? Seriously. And they're like, You're right, Hawa, sorry. And I'm like, it's fine, don't worry about it. Like, don't apologize to me. Apologize to Mr. Turner, because if he was here right now, he'd be very disappointed at the fact that you are still thirsting after these two idiotic men, after what they did to you at that Coney Island trip. I know something you don't. And so they're like, you're right, he'd probably like roast us or whatever. And so like we giggle about that, and as we like giggle quietly about like the thought of like Mr. Turner, because like we started giggling at the thought of like Mr. Turner like coming back from the dead just to yell at Winter and Clemmy for like thirsting over Caden and Zion at his freaking funeral, because that is something he would definitely do. And as we're snickering, all of a sudden we hear a deep ass voice go, what's so funny? I want to laugh. And we turn around to see Zion and Caden behind us. And Zion was the one who said that. And he's like, hey guys, long time no see. And I am like looking at the two of them being like, come on, stand up. Stand up. Do not falter. Do not falter. And immediately they go, yeah, long time no see either, right? And they start talking to Caden and Zion. And I'm sitting there like, I thought better of you. If you can't tell, Clementine and Winter kind of have a crush on Caden and Zion. Clementine on Zion, Winter on Caden. And something happened at this Coney Island trip that like just fucked everything up, right? And so as they're talking, I can feel Caden looking at me, and I am not looking at him. I do not want to talk to him. I don't want to even perceive his existence. Like, I do not like him in this dream. I hate him, actually, in this dream. And it's all because of what he did at this Coney Island trip, right? And so I am not acknowledging him. And he's asking me questions, and I'm ignoring him. And I'm just looking down at the pamphlet, just ignoring him. And at one point, Zion goes, hey, Caden asked you a question, Hawa. And I just go, oh, did he? Sorry, I didn't hear it. And so he sighs and he like frowns slightly, and he's about to ask me a question again, but then the bells start to ring in the church, signaling that the memorial is going to start. And I'm like, oh, the memorial is going to start, you should probably head to your seats. And so he gives me like one last look before leaving. Caden and I in this dream in the past were very, very close. Like, we were basically like brother and sister. That's how close we are. So whatever he did at this Coney Island trip that's making me hate him must have been bad, right? So we sit, do the little memorial thingy, right? Nothing very eventful happened. Everyone goes up to the casket and leaves flowers. Again, it's a closed casket, so we can't actually see what's inside. And so me, Clementine, and Winter leave the flowers. We say our goodbyes to him. And then there was like a whole section of the memorial where people would come up and just tell their stories about Mr. Turner and like what, like how he changed their lives and everything like that. And even Winter and Clementine went up, Zion and Caden went up. I was the only one who didn't go up because I was so worried that I would go up there and start crying, right? Because like for everyone else in the room, a lot of them haven't spoken to Mr. Turner since they graduated, but I literally spoke to Mr. Turner 3 months ago, literally 3 months ago. So I'm like really like emotional and upset. And I told myself that it would be okay if I went to this funeral if I didn't cry, if I did not cry. So I was like, I can't do my speech. So after the funeral memorial is over, people start to file out of the church. Me, Clementine, and Winter hang back a little bit and go back to Mr. Turner's casket because we want to say a few more words that are like a little bit more intimate, right? Like away from like prying ears. So we like talk about how much Mr. Turner means to us and like the changes that he made in our life and what those changes were, you know, things that we just didn't want other people to hear. And as we like finish up, we turn around to see Caden and Zion standing right behind us. And Zion's like, wow, like those words were so beautiful. And specifically, those words were coming from like Winter, because Winter is a very eloquent talker. I could listen to Winter talk like all day. She's very eloquent with her words and very careful with the words that she chooses, unlike me. But after she was done, Zion's like, wow, like that was really like beautiful, what you said, Winter. Like, I bet if Mr. Turner heard that, he'd be moved. And before Winter can say anything, I'm like, yeah, those words were for Mr. Turner, not for you. Okay. And so I grab the girls and I'm like, let's leave. And Zion's like, wait. Like, where are you guys going? Like, let's catch up. It's been a while. And Caden's just standing there quietly. And I'm like, actually, we have plans. We need to go. So we're going to leave. And we start to leave. And Zion's like, well, what are your plans? Like, maybe me and Caden can join, you know, like, let us get you dinner, like our treat. You know, it's been so long. And I get so mad because you're going to find out what they did at this Coney Island trip. But like, I'm so mad at the audacity of this man just try to speak to them. And so I'm like, no, we don't want to do those things. We don't want to catch up. We don't want to make amends. We don't want to do any of those things with you. Okay, we want to leave. So we're leaving. And that's that. And so I turn. And again, I'm literally holding Clementine and Winter like they're my children. I'm being like, come on, let's go. Because like they're like turning to look over at like Caden and Zion with like little puppy eyes being like, oh, well, maybe we should talk to them. And I'm like, no. Did you forget what happened at that Coney Island trip? No, we're not going. We're not talking to them. Let's go. And finally, Caden says something and he goes, you shouldn't be speaking for them. They're adults. They can make decisions for themselves. And I whip and look over at Caden and I just start like, I beeline towards him. And I'm like, you don't get to say that after what you did. Okay, after what you did, you don't get to say anything. Okay, I don't want to hear shit from you. And he's like, Hawa, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Okay, like, you guys are disgusting. You guys are horrible people. And we are leaving. And that is that. And Zion is like, come on, like, we're friends. And I'm like, no, we are not friends. We are the opposite of friends. Friends don't do what you did, especially not to them. Okay. So we are done. We are leaving. And so I start to head towards the door and I turn around and I go, Clementine, Winter, we're leaving. And they look over at me and they're like, Hawa, we're adults. Like, I know what happened back then was really like, you know, messed up and everything. But, you know, we're adults now. We're a lot older. Maybe we can give them a second chance. Maybe we can talk things out, you know. Rekindle a friendship. And I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe you guys. I actually can't believe you guys. I can't. You know what, forget it, my husband's waiting for me, I am leaving. And Caden goes, husband? I didn't know you had a husband. And I'm like, yeah, of course you didn't. We're not friends. My friends know I got married. Okay, you're not my friend. And so with that, I turn to head out of the church, except the door does not budge. No matter how much I try and how hard I wiggle the doors, and granted, this church is very beautiful, but like it looks like very, this is gonna sound so like mean, but I don't mean it. It has very like ancient architect, right? So I'm thinking if I just wiggle this door hard enough, like it's just gonna break open, right? Nah, these doors are These doors are dooring, okay? These are stainless steel doors. They are holding up. And so I'm trying to open the door, and the door won't open. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm trying to open them, and Kaden's like, let me help you. And I'm like, no, get away from me. I got it. And I try again and again, and the doors will not budge. And so Kaden's like, calm down. I'm just going to open the door for you so you can leave. That's what you want, right? He tries to open the door doesn't open. And he's like, what the heck? And so he's banging on the door, and he's like, hey, can anyone hear us? Like, we're locked in. Open the door. Nothing. And I'm like, what the heck? Who? I thought churches were supposed to be open 24/7. And Zion's like, they are. And so he runs up to the door and tries it. Doesn't open. Soon, all five of us are sitting there trying to open this door. It does not budge. It is like a brick wall, the way the door is not moving at all. And so I just sigh angrily, and I'm like, fine. You know what? I'm just going to call someone to try to get this door open. I'm going to call my husband. I don't know. The police. I don't give a fuck. I need to get out of here and away from you. So I grab my phone. I try to call someone. No calls are going through. I then realize my cell service, nothing. Zero bars. It says no service on the screen too. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I turn off my phone to turn it back on, because sometimes my service will like glitch out a little bit. So I just have to turn it off, turn it back on. And so I did that. Same thing. No service. And I'm like, how is there no service in a church? I don't understand. This makes zero sense. And I'm like, my phone has no service. And so everyone else tries their phone. They also have no service. And I'm like, what do we do? And I look at everyone, and everyone looks at me, and Zion finally goes, I guess we're locked in. Better make ourselves comfortable. And I think that is where I'm going to stop, so we can have our little snacky snack, little drinky drink break. Get yourself a snacky snack. Get yourself a drinky drink. Get yourself, ooh, you know, I've been watching a lot of like Water of the Day videos, and they use a lot of like Propel drink packets. So if you have like a Propel drink packet, maybe like a kiwi strawberry one, pop some of that in some water, and we'll be right back. We are back, baby. Woo! We are back from our break. Woo! It was definitely just a few seconds, and it has not been a full day. Definitely. I would never do that to you. Yeah. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed that little breaky break. Got your snacky snacks, got your drinky drinks. I have my little water with me, my Water of the Day. I really like that YouTuber. He makes water every single day, and he'll add a little like drink packet. He puts syrups in it. I think it's like he's from Water Talk, which is like this whole phenomenon where people will like put drink packets and like syrups and everything in their water, and it doesn't really look appealing to me, but he's so happy while making it, so I'm like, oh my gosh. And some of the drink packets flavors that he's using, I'm like, that sounds kind of good. And obviously, I prefer the taste of like plain water, but I do know people, like my sister, for example, who cannot drink plain water. Like, she actually struggles to drink plain water. So like flavored water is like the only way that she will drink water. I also know there's a lot of neurodivergent people who can't stomach the taste of plain water, and they have to flavor their water in order to get like a normal water intake. So I'm never gonna judge people who have to drink flavored water to get through the day. You know, I think me personally, I'm starting to get into the routine where I will drink my water, and then I'll treat myself at night with like one flavored water. And you know what? It feels good. It feels good. It's like a reward. So yeah. I have my flavored water. And then because Ramadan is officially over and now it's Eid Mubarak, I had some grilled meat with my mom, and it was very tasty. I don't know if the grilled meat we ate was goat or lamb. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't really tell the difference sometimes, most of the time. I do know I prefer goat and lamb over beef. That's just me personally, though. And tomorrow, I'm going to be making my favorite Gumbian dish to celebrate to eat. Can you guys guess what that dish is? This is like Hawa lore. If you are an avid listener of the podcast, you will know what this dish is. I've talked about it a couple of times, okay? I'm going to give you like 5 seconds. The dish in question is cow feet. Yes. I know. It sounds a little like cow feet, like the foot of the cow. Yeah. It's one of my favorite dishes. I talked about it in one episode of the podcast pretty recently and a couple of other times. Like, that's my favorite dish of all time. And my mom finally gave me the family recipe, so I'm going to be making it tomorrow. I've been learning a lot of like recipes from my mom just because like I should know all of them before like she goes, you know? So I've been learning a bunch of the family recipes, and I finally got my little grubby little fingers on the cow feet one, and I'm gonna be making it a lot. Well, not a lot, because cow feet's very expensive. Like, it's very expensive to buy it. Unless my uncle hires me at his grocery store, then I'd be able to afford all the cow feet I want. Mostly because I know he has them there, and I can just bat my eyes and be like, give me cow feet. Yeah, I'm using my nepotism. Yeah, okay. Let me use it. That's the theme for today's episode. Nepotism. Anyways, let's get back into the dream. I think I rambled enough. I'm like a yapper. I'm so sorry. I just yap, yap, yap all the time. Just yapping your little ear off. And you stay. You stay and listen to my yapping. I really appreciate it. I love you. I love you so much. Let's continue. We already got into the dream. Let's continue the dream. So where we last left off, I, along with the others, discover that the church doors are locked and we are stuck in this church. And no matter how hard we bang on the doors and how hard we scream, it seems that no one can hear us. It seems like the doors don't even like budge even an inch. It's like we're banging on a brick wall. Nothing happens. And at first, I am just screaming and banging at this door for like a whole hour straight because I just want out. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be around Caden and Zion because I despise them for this Coney Island trip that we had. I'll let you know about it a little bit later. And so I don't want to be near them. And I'm also very mad at Winter and Clementine for like even entertaining the idea of wanting to rekindle a friendship with them after what happened during this Coney Island trip. Like, I'm just like so confuzzled. I just want to go home. I want to go home and see my husband and watch Lab Rats and cry about Mr. Turner's death, which doesn't make sense because Clementine, Winter, and I all got letters saying that he passed, but each letter said something different. Clementine's letter said that he took his own life. My letter said that he died in a robbery gone wrong. And Winter's letter said that he died in a hit and run. So clearly there's some discrepancies. So deep down, I'm thinking something is wrong. Like, something is wrong and fishy and we need to get out of here. But at the time, in this moment, I cannot, like, put my finger on that feeling that something is wrong. I'm just like, I just need to get out of here. I feel uncomfortable. But, like, deep down, I know something is off about this whole death and this whole service and everything about it, right? So I bang on the doors for, like, an hour straight before finally, like, giving up and just sitting down. And the church is very big, right? So we are all sitting on one side of the church away from like the, I don't want to call it, is it a pyre? I've never been to a church before, so I don't really know. I'm going based on like pop culture and everything. But like, you know, like the altar where the priest usually gives his speech and everything. And that's where the casket is. It's all the way on the other side. And so we're on the side nearest to the door, just because I think all of us collectively agreed that we didn't want to be near Mr. Turner's body. It was just, it's just too much. It'll just add too much weight to this situation, you know? And so I'm just sitting there biting my nails and just like tapping my foot, just very anxious and very upset and wanting to go home. And Caden notices and he's like, don't worry, Hawa, like someone's gonna notice eventually and they'll come and unlock the doors. And I'm like, yeah, but how long? Because like we've been here for like 10 years. And he's like, you're being dramatic. And I'm like, am I being dramatic? Am I? Because it feels like we've been here for 10 years. And Zion's like, it's been an hour. And I'm like, yeah, an hour too long. I want to go. I want to leave. And I never want to see any of you again. And Winter's like, what? Why would you say that? Like, what's... And I'm like, I don't want to see any of you because I can't believe that you guys are just okay with what happened. How can you be okay with it? And Clementine snaps and she's like, "I of course I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with it, but I feel like maybe we should give them a chance to explain themselves." And I'm like, what is there to explain? There is nothing to explain. You could have died. You guys literally could have died because of what happened. If Elle was not there to help you and save you, you guys would have died 100%. And they look at me and like they want to like kind of argue with me, but they kind of stop themselves and like look down because they know I'm right. They know I am 100% right about what I'm talking about. And so the church goes silent again, and the only thing you can hear is the sound of my foot tapping very anxiously. And Zion speaks up and he's like, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for everything that happened and the things that we did, but you can't act like everything that we did together was like bad. Like everything we did together was awful. We have some good memories too. Like you remember the time that we got lost trying to get back to the dorms and we found that Froyo place? And everyone's like, yeah. And he's like, what about this memory? And he like lists off a bunch of memories that we had together. One of the memories was the time that we made Mr. Turner laugh. Like, full belly laugh, because like he wasn't the laughing type, you know, like the most you could get was like a smile out of him. But like we had a scene, the five of us had a scene together, and this only happened in the dream, just gotta let y'all know. We had a scene in class and the scene was so funny that Mr. Turner was like laughing, like crying laughing at how funny it was. And so we like thought about that, and we thought about the first time we tried this restaurant together. We thought about all the trips that we went on together, all of that stuff. And just going down memory lane, talking about each of those stories. And by like the end of it, like we're all laughing and having a pretty good time. And Caden looks over at me and he's like, see, we have good memories too. Like, we can go back to having these good memories and being friends like this, right? And that immediately makes me stop laughing. Immediately makes me stop laughing. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we have these good memories of these good times, but we also have really bad memories, right? You have to like be honest with yourselves and understand that you guys weren't fair to Clementine and Winter. Like, I never experienced the things that Clementine and Winter did. I experienced something entirely different. But the things that they did to Clementine and Winter before the Coney Island trip were awful things. And you guys weren't fair to them. You guys were really rude to them. And the bad stuff that you guys did outweigh the good memories that we have. And Clementine's like, come on, Howell, it's not that bad. And I go, oh, really? It's not that bad? And so I start listing out things that, like, Caden and Zion did to Clementine and Winter. And they both look at me and they're, like, kind of shocked. They're like, why do you remember all of that? And oh my gosh, like I didn't realize how bad it was. And I was like, because I was the one who always had to pick up the pieces. I was the one who always had to comfort you guys after what they did. I had to watch them hurt you over and over and over again, only for you guys to get back up and crawl back to them. And then I'm always left in the shadows. I'm always left behind. And I feel like a freaking child of divorced fighting parents. Like, this is fucking sucks. And again, do I need to remind you about the Coney Island trip and what they did to you? And they both look at each other and they're like, no, you don't need to remind us. Like, we know. We'll never forget that trip. And I'm like, exactly. So just because we're having this moment where we're going down memory lane and thinking about the good times doesn't negate the fact that what they did to you guys and how they treated you guys the whole time we were in college was not okay. It was never okay. And you shouldn't be with someone who treats you like that. Period. Not even, like, I'm not even entertaining the idea of you guys being in a relationship together. Okay, I'm just saying, even being friends with someone like that isn't okay, right? And so Kate and Zion look at each other and they're like, well, can we at least like say our side of the story? And I'm like, no. And I stand up and I'm like, no, I don't want to hear your side of the story. Okay, I don't want to hear your excuses. None of it. Like, there is nothing that can excuse what happened. And so Zion jumps up and we end up having like a very heated argument while everyone else watches. And Kaden kind of just like rolls his eyes and puts his head in his hands while Clementine and Winter are trying to like diffuse the like situation. Clementine, love her down, but Clementine was being a little bit stupid because she was kind of taking Zion's side, which was making me even more mad because, oh my God, when I tell you what happened during this Coney Island trip, you're going to be like, what is wrong with Clementine and Winter? Why are they still, like, fawning over them? And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because the relationship they had in this dream with Kaden and Zion was very much, like, abusive. And so much breadcrumbing was happening in that relationship where they're slowly just being breadcrumbed by Kaden and Zion, making them believe that they were in a relationship when really they weren't. So many things. So like, I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt, but they were, I'm not gonna lie, we're being a little stupid. And so Zion is like, look, like, this isn't even about you, like, this is an AB conversation, so see your way out. And I'm like, oh, okay, real mature Zion. And he's like, you're not making it easy. I tried to apologize to them and they just sent me that letter. And my face immediately drops and Winter and Clementine look at me and then look at Zion. They're like, wait, what letter? And Zion's like, you sent me and Kaden that letter that told us that you didn't want to see us again, that we're dead to you, all of that stuff. You don't remember that letter you sent us? And they're like, what letter? And then they look over at me and they're like, Hawa, what letter? And now the dream cuts back to us in college. Winter and Clementine are in my dorm room practically begging me to go on the Coney Island trip. So in my dream, the college I went to would do this thing where if everyone scored really highly on their midterms or finals, they would reward us with like a little event. And usually the events were really small, like a pizza party or an ice cream party. Sometimes they'd have emotional support animals come and we would be able to play with them, you know, things like that. But these particular finals that we took, like, they were like super serious. Like, it wasn't just the students being graded, it was also the teachers being graded. It was a huge deal. And all of the students scored very, very highly on their finals. And so the school was like, okay, like, we're gonna like treat you guys with something super special, a trip to Coney Island. Everything's gonna be paid for and you guys can spend the entire day at Coney Island. So you guys can de-stress and like, this is a little reward for you guys. You know, it's summer. We want you guys to enjoy your summer. We're gonna like take you guys to Coney Island, right? So everyone in the school was really excited. And so Winter and Clementine were trying their darndest to convince me to go on the Coney Island trip because originally I was just going to skip out and just like stay in my dorm room. And so they're like, come on, Hawa, please, you have to go to the Coney Island trip. Like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, we're going to get to go to Coney Island and we can do anything we want there and the school will pay for it. Like, that's crazy. And like, we can go on the boardwalk, we can go to the aquarium. You love fish. Aquarium, let's go. And I'm sitting there like, nah, I don't know. Like, I'd rather stay home. And Clementine's like, oh my God, Hawa, you can literally stay home any other day. Any other day you can stay home. It's fine. Just go on the trip. It's going to be great. And I'm like, okay, guys, what's the real reason you want me to go on the trip? And they're like, what? We can't just ask our third half to come on this trip so we can just have like our H2O moment. And I'm like, I know what the real reason is, right? And they sigh and they're like, okay, Kaden and Zion are going to be there. And if they're not going to want to hang out with us if it's just the two of us, because then they're going to think it's like a weird little double date thing. But if you're there, then it's just going to seem like it's just the five of us hanging, you know, just like the clique, right? And, you know, Peach is going to be there and Rick's going to be there. Jonah's going to be there. So, like, it will be fun. We're going to have so much fun. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, something in my spirit's just telling me it's not going to end well. It's just not going to end well. And they're like, oh, come on, Hawa. Like, it's going to be so much fun, right? And they spend the rest of the night convincing me. And I end up saying yes and going on the Coney Island trip. But I wasn't being completely honest with them on why I didn't want to go. Like, yeah, I wanted to stay home and play choices on my cell phone because, you know, I'm an introvert. But the real reason is because I didn't like the type of people they became when they were around Kaden and Zion. Like, Winter and Clementine were great friends when it was just, like, the three of us. Or even when Peach was around. Or, like, the other people at our college that were in our class. Like, when they were around them. Like, it was great. They were awesome friends. They were awesome to hang out, to be around and hang out with. But the moment they were around, like, Kaden and Zion, they just changed. Like, they just became different people. And oftentimes, I would just be left out of things. So sometimes they would, like, invite me over. And they would tell me it's because they wanted to hang out, just the five of us. But in reality, it's because Clementine wanted to make her move with Zion. And Winter wanted to make her move with Kaden. And then I would just be left there alone, just sitting. And like watching them and no one's talking to me and it's just awkward. And I didn't like that. And a lot of times, sometimes I would just be like abandoned places. So like, let's say we'd go to a restaurant, the five of us, and I got up to go use the bathroom, right? While I'm in the bathroom, they already paid for the bill and left to go get dessert at a different place. And so I will come back to see that they're completely gone. And they had just left me. And I'll text them and be like, hey, where did you guys go? Like, you left me at this restaurant. Only to get zero responses. Nothing. And so I would just have to walk home by myself to the dorms because they basically left me. And it sucked. It freaking sucked. And I was really nice. And I'd be like, oh, it's fine. But like, I actually felt some type of way about it. But Hawa back then just didn't stand up for herself. So I was just like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. And it would happen so often to the point where I would just try not to hang out with them when it was if I knew Kaden and Zion were going to. And I was slowly building this resentment for Kaden and Zion because it always happened around them. I also just didn't really like Kaden and Zion because I felt like they were like really mean. So Clementine and Winter, I'm very overprotective with my friends. And they're just doing a lot of things that, like, didn't sit right with me. Like, you would think that they were in a relationship the way that they were acting, but they were never in a relationship. Just, like, crazy stuff. Anyway, so, like, I just didn't want to go. Because the idea of me being in a place that I don't really know my way around, like Coney Island, and going to the bathroom and then coming back to see that they have left me, would really ruin my day. So I didn't want to go. But they somehow managed to convince me. And I end up going to Coney Island. And so as we're on the boat to Coney Island, they drop a huge bomb on me. Basically, they lied and told me that it was technically a date. Right? So it was a triple date. And I was looking at them confused because at the time in the dream, I was dating my now husband. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would it be a triple date? My boyfriend's not here. He's back home. And she's like, yeah, I know. So we invited Rick. And I'm like, dude, seriously, Rick? And nothing against Rick. Rick was a great guy, you know? The thing is, number one, I'm already in a relationship, a committed relationship. And number two, Rick I didn't know anything about Rick. Like, I knew zero things about him. I knew that he was in some of my classes, but I never actually had a conversation with him. And the only thing that I knew about him was through Clementine and Winter. And the information I got from them was during their phase when they both had like a small crush on Rick, and then they got over it. So I was like, why? Like, why would you pair me up with Rick? Like, you know I'm in a relationship. They're like, look, it's a triple date, but like, it's not a triple date. And Rick doesn't know it's a triple date either, so it'll be fine. And I'm like, no, it's not fine, guys. What the heck? And they apologize profusely, but they're like, look, like, this is our one chance to like finally make things official with Kaden and Zion. You have to help us. That's what a good friend will do. You will help us. Please, please, please. And I'm like, fine, I'll do it for you guys because I love you guys. And they're like, oh, thank you, right? We get to Coney Island, we meet up with Kaden, Zion, and Rick. Immediately Clementine and Winter shift into their new forms, and they're all over Kaden and Zion. And Kaden and Zion seem to be like really nice this time. Like, they're being really sweet to them, hugging them, talking to them. Like, it seems like it's gonna be a blast, right? And I look over at Rick and I'm like, hi, and he's like, hey. And that's all we talk about. Like, that's it. Because it's like really awkward between us. So we start doing all of these rides. All of the rides are coupley rides. So I end up having to do all these couple things with Rick. And he's really awkward about it. And I'm really awkward about it. And I'm like, huh. And he's like, yeah, so fun. Right. And then we go get food. And of course, all the food that they get is all coupley foods. So then at one point, me and Rick have to share a milkshake. And I'm like, you know what? I actually don't want this milkshake. It's fine. He's like, oh, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm good. I don't want it. You can just have it. Right. And so we do all these things. And honestly, it's looking good for like Clementine and Winter. Like, Kaden and Zion are laughing with them, sharing meals with them. At one point, Kaden kissed Winter on the cheek, and I, in my head, I'm like, yes, go queen, you get your mans, period, right? Halfway through, I tell the group, like, oh, I need to use the bathroom, I'll be right back. I go use the bathroom, I come back, guess what? They all left me. Well, not all of them. Everyone left except for Rick. And I'm like, oh, where did everyone else go? And he's like, oh, they're just right. Oh, they're gone. That's weird. Hold on, I'll text them. And I'm like, don't bother, they always do this. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And so I'm just standing there next to Rick, and he's like, okay, is this like a date thing? Because this kind of feels like a date thing. And I'm like, wow, nothing gets past you, dude. And he's like, well, you know how I really appreciate the fact that maybe you're interested in me. And I'm like, oh, well, no. I'm not. I have a boyfriend. And he's like, oh, you do? Then why? And I'm like, I kind of got tricked into doing this because Clementine and Winter wanted an opportunity to get Kaden and Zion alone. And I'm the scapegoat. So, yeah. And he's like, wow, that's kind of messed up. And I'm like, well, you got roped into it too. And he's like, oh shit, I did. And I'm like, yeah, you did, welcome to the club. And so we keep standing there, and he's like, you know what, this isn't fair, we're gonna have fun together. And I'm like, it's really no big deal, like, maybe you still have time, like, we're gonna be here for what, like 5 more hours, like, you can go find your friends and hang out with them. And he's like, no, I'm going to hang out with you, and we're going to have a friggin' blast and make them regret leaving us here. Okay. And so he grabs my hand and he's like, come on, let's go. And so I end up actually having like a really fun time with Rick, and we end up realizing we have like a lot in common. So one big thing is that he's a twin and I'm a twin, and we're like, oh my God, no way, we're twins. That's crazy. Right. We find out that we like the same foods, we like the same drinks. We go on all the fun, scary rides that like we wanted to go on, but we couldn't go on because the four of them wanted to go on coupley rides. And we ended up having like a blast. And there was like one thing that we did that was like really cute, where we wanted to get food, but like we kept fighting on who would pay, right? And at the end of the day, technically neither of us are paying, like the college is paying, because they gave us little cards that had like a certain amount of money on it, right? So he was like, okay, look, I will get appetizers, you get the first course. I get the second course, you get the third course. I get one dessert, you get the other dessert. And we'll just keep going like that. So that's what we did. And then he even like won me a prize at one of those like games. And it was really fun. So like by the end of the night, like we were laughing and having a blast. I even like FaceTimed my boyfriend Arthur and like gave it to him so they could talk, and they became like best friends. And I was like, okay, all right, enough talking, okay, I want attention now. So that was fun. And we even talked about like, oh, like next time like we'll hang out, like you can call your twin and I'll call my twin, and we can like talk, they like you can talk to my twin and I'll talk to yours, something like that, right? Having a blast. We start walking on the pier, and all of a sudden I see Winter and Clementine sitting on a bench near the pier, and Elle is sitting next to them like trying to comfort them, and they are sobbing, they are literally crying their eyes out. So I drop everything, I drop the teddy bear, this like huge giant teddy bear that Rick won for me, and I run to them and I'm like, what happened? Are you guys okay? And the closer I get to them, the first thing I notice is that they're soaking wet. Like they are soaking wet. Their makeup is running. Clementine, her lip is busted. And her arm, she's like cradling her arm. So I immediately, I'm like, guys, what happened? What's wrong? And like, they are just like sobbing their eyes out. Like they cannot get their words out. And so I turn to Elle, because of course Elle's in my dream. I turned to Elle and I'm like, what happened? Flashback within the flashback. All right. Flashback inception to when I had to go to the bathroom and I excused myself to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom and Rick also quickly went to like answer a call. And while that was happening, Zion looked at Kaden and then looked over at Winter and Clementine and was like, hey, you guys want to go to a party? And Winter and Clementine are like, what? There's a party? And she's like, he's like, yeah, there's a party that's going to be happening near the maze, because there's this giant maze for some reason on the boardwalk that you could do. And he was like, yeah, there's going to be a party and we're going to go into the haunted maze. You guys should come. And Winter and Clementine are like, oh, I don't know. Like, Howell wouldn't really want us to do that. And he's like, well, I wasn't asking what Howell would want. I'm asking if you guys want. Is like, Howell your keeper? And they're like, no. And they're like, well, then you guys should just come. Like, there's going to be some drinks there and everything. Besides, I think Howell and Rick are really hitting it off. So, like, we should give them their alone time. And so they look at each other and, of course, they agree to go. And so they go to this little party that's near the haunted maze, right? And they're at this party. There's a bunch of other people there, and they start to drink. And so at first, Winter and Clementine just have one drink, right? But all of a sudden, Kaden and Zion are really pushing drinks on them. So like one drink after another after another. And Elle saw this happening and was like trying to like, you know, be like, whoa, okay, you guys have had enough to drink, you know, like calm down. And Zion's like, what? They're fine. They want to drink. Don't you guys want to drink? And of course, they're like, yeah, we want to drink. We want to drink, right? And so obviously, Elle can't force them to not drink. So she's like, okay, I'm just going to keep an eye on them throughout the night to make sure that they're okay, right? Soon they get ready to go into the haunted maze, and Clementine and Winter are drunk off their asses. They can barely stand. That's how drunk they are. And of course, Zion and Kaden like hold on to them, being like, don't worry, to kind of acting like they're knight in shining armor or whatever. And take them into the haunted house, right? And the haunted house is like very mediocre. It's like your typical carnival haunted house that they have. It's like, it's not good. I've never been to a good haunted house at a carnival. But like they go through the maze, and at a certain point, Kaden and Zion purposely got separated from Winter and Clementine, the two people who are literally drunk off their asses in this maze, right? And so as they're in this maze, stumbling around, trying to find their way out, right? The maze has like a bunch of these like dead ends, and one of the dead ends lead to the pier, right? And so they stumble out of the maze through that dead end where it's the pier, and it leads all the way up to the end of the pier. And so they're kind of stumbling and like giggling and laughing, right? And all of a sudden, Kaden and Zion come out of nowhere and shove them as hard as they can into the water, right? As hard as they can into the water as like a joke, right? To like sober them up. The thing is, as when they did that, they didn't fall into the water right away. Clementine tripped on her heel and ended up hitting her arm hard, her arm and her face hard into the pier before falling into the water. And because they were so drunk, they couldn't swim. They were basically drowning. And Kaden and Zion were too busy laughing at them and just walked away and left. Luckily, Elle was there, and Elle is an amazing swimmer. So she jumped into the water and fished them out, basically. And that's what happened. And it flashes back to the previous flashback with me in front of them, and they're crying and they're really upset. And like, they're just blabbering, being like, I can't believe they did that. Why would they do that to us? And like, when they like first like pushed them into the water, they were like, oh, like, we're just trying to sober you up as a joke. But clearly it's not a joke, because Clementine badly hurt her arm. She's bleeding from her mouth. Like, it's not funny. Also, they were way too drunk. You were pushing drinks on them the entire freaking night. You were pushing drinks on them the entire freaking night, and then you were expecting them to be able to swim. What the hell is wrong with them, right? And so I get so mad hearing that. So mad hearing that. And I immediately get up and I go to try to find Kaden and Zion. And I'm not able to find them, right? And so instead, once we go to the hospital and get them sorted and we get back to our college and start resuming our college day, because like for a couple of weeks, like Clementine and Winter like were ignoring Kaden and Zion, and they kept apologizing to me like, we're sorry, like it was just a prank, like we didn't know that was gonna happen, we didn't think that was going to happen, like we're sorry, da da dee da da do da dee da, but we were not having it. But Winter and Clementine are not God's strongest soldiers, so like soon Kaden and Zion are like slowly chipping away at their like barrier, and it's like working, and like they're starting to get ready to forgive them, and I am not having it. I am done. I am freaking done. This is not happening. We're not gonna go through this cycle where you are mad at them for like a week and then you forgive them and then we go through this shit over and over again. No, I am done. So what do? I write two letters, one for Kaden, one for Zion, pretending to be Clementine and Winter, and I write the nastiest, meanest letter I can muster and end the letter with, never talk to me again, I hate you, I never want to speak to you ever again. And so I send those letters to Kaden and Zion, and we go on with our college days. And the letter worked, because for the rest of our college days, they never talked to Winter and Clementine, and Winter and Clementine were really hurt by it. And we're really upset the fact that they weren't talking to them anymore, and like they were just like ignoring them. And I was like, guys, come on, like this is a good riddance, like don't forget what happened at the Coney Island trip, like it's fine, it's fine. Cut back to us at the church, and so all of that is revealed about the letter and me being the one who wrote it instead of Clementine and Winter. And to say that they're pissed off at me is an understatement. They are completely livid. They are so upset. They have literal steam coming out of their ears. And Clementine immediately gets in my face and starts screaming at me. And she's like, what the hell, Hawa? That wasn't your choice to make. If I want to talk to Zion, I'll talk to Zion. If I want to be in a relationship with Zion after everything he did, I'm going to be in a relationship with Zion after everything he did, right? And I look at her dumbfounded. Shocked, shooked, sheeked, because there's no way in hell you're treating me like I'm the bad guy for doing this, because I stand by what I did in this dream, 100%, 1,000,000% what I did in this dream. I stand by it, and I don't care if that makes me the bad guy. I stand by it. And so I get right in her face, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you seriously taking his side after what he did to you? Are you a freaking idiot? Are you stupid? And she's like, if I want to be stupid, I can be stupid, right? And Winter's just staring at me and she's like, you did that? You wrote those letters? Like, I wanted closure. Like, this whole time I thought I did something wrong to be treated that way by Caden. Like, you could have told us or something, right? And I was like, no. Okay, did you forget that he literally broke your arm? And I'm pointing at Zion and I'm looking at Clementine and I'm like, did you forget that he literally broke your arm? That he literally busted your lip? That he literally pushed you into freezing cold water? You almost drowned. If Elle wasn't there, you guys would have drowned. They were pushing drinks on you all night. You think they were doing that for funsies? No, they were planning something bad. They were trying to do something bad to you guys, and you still want to take their fucking side? He treats you like shit and you take it. Why? Why is that? Is it because you're that desperate for love? And Clementine responds with smacking me across the face. Hard. Like, so hard that it echoes throughout the entire church. And she's like, that's my choice. That is my choice. You don't get to take away my freaking choice. And Caden, who has been silent this entire time, stands up and shouts so loudly, like the church literally shakes, and he goes, enough! And we all look at him, and he's like breathing really heavily, and he's like red in the face, and he's like, I think we just need a breather, okay? I think we all just need a little break to calm down and think things through. And Zion's like, yeah, you're right. Hawa, maybe you should just go stand on the other side of the church so that way everyone can get a breather. And I let out, like, I just scoff. I'm just like, and he's like, look, you caused a lot of issues. Like, maybe just go to the other side of the church and calm down. And then we can talk in like 10, 30 minutes. And I look at them. And I look over at Winter, and Winter is like, she has mixed emotions. Like, she wants to comfort me, but she's also like hurt by what I did a little bit. Clementine, pissed off, mad at me. I think she wants to beat my ass, right? And I look at the both of them and I'm like, I did what I thought was best to protect you guys. And with that, I walk to the other side of the church. And I kind of sit there and I cry because, ow, Clementine slapped me. And I cry a little bit and I look over to see them. I can like literally see them, the four of them, rekindling their friendship and like rekindling the spark that they once had, you know? And it's like pissing me off because, like, dude, seriously? But like, awake me is like, girl, relax. You cannot help people who do not want to help themselves, right? Like, just let them, like, if that's what they want, if they want to be in that relationship with those types of people, let them be in the relationship, right? But Dream Me was just not having it and was getting so genuinely upset that they were doing this, right? And so as I sat on the other side of the church near Mr. Turner's casket, I start looking at it and I start thinking to myself about the letters. Like, my mind just keeps going back to the letters and how weird the letters were, because they're really weird, right? And now that I'm looking at Mr. Turner's casket, it also kind of looks off. It looks weird, and I can't put my finger on why it looks weird. It just looks weird. And as I'm looking at it, I notice that behind his casket there is a black book bag. And so I stand up and I walk over to the black book bag and I open it to see the same paper that the letter that I received telling me that Mr. Turner passed away, the same paper that that letter was written on is filled in this backpack. This backpack is literally filled with the same exact paper, the same pen, and the same envelopes, right? And I'm like, okay, that's really weird. And it's also a little bit weird that the letters are what brought us to this church, and the letters were what revealed the fact that, like, I had this whole secret that I was holding, that I wrote letters to Caden and Zion to prevent them from hurting Clementine and Winter. Right? And so I don't know why I did this, but I walked over to the casket and I lifted the top of the casket. Like, I pushed the top off so I could get a look inside to see Mr. Turner. Don't know why, but I did. And the moment that I started to do that, Zion sees me doing that and he screams at me and he's like, Howell, what are you doing? And he runs over and everyone else follows him, but it's too late. I already opened the casket and I look in and there's nothing in the casket. And so I'm staring at the casket being like, there's literally nothing in this casket. There's no one in this casket. Why? What are we doing here? Is Mr. Turner even dead? And Zion immediately like grabs my shoulder and pulls me off the little like altar thing that the casket was on. And I stumble and he's like, what the fuck are you doing, Howell? What the hell? That's so like disrespectful. And he like starts like scolding me and everyone is looking at me. And I'm like, there's nothing in the casket. And he's like, what? And I'm like, there's nothing in the casket. And so Zion goes to look and everyone else goes to look as well. And I look over at Caden and I'm like, Caden, how did you find out about Mr. Turner's death? And he looks at me funny and I'm like, just answer the question. How did you find out about Mr. Turner's death? And he's like, I got a letter. And I was like, what did the letter say? And he's like, the letter said that, you know, like, we regret to inform you that Mr. Turner had passed. How did he die? What do you mean? How did he die? Caden, what did the letter say? How did he die? It said he died of a heart attack. You know, natural causes. And I look at him and I look at Winter and I'm like, Winter, your letter said he died in a hit and run. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, Clementine, your letter said that he died because he took his own life. And she's like, what does that have to do anything? I'm still not talking to you. And I'm like, but my letter said that he died in a robbery gone wrong. Zion, what did your letter say? And he's like, I didn't get a letter. And I'm like, you didn't get a letter? And he's like, no, I didn't get a fucking letter, Hawa. Okay, what does this have to do with anything? And I'm like, so with the exception of Zion, we all got letters telling us to come here because Mr. Turner passed. But Mr. Turner's not in the casket. I'm just really confused. And he's like, come on, Hawa. Maybe you didn't take a good look at the casket, right? And Zion leans in to look in the casket. Right. And as he does, his shirt lifts up slightly and I see that he has a gun in his back pocket. And that's when everything kind of clicks in place for me. Right. That Zion probably has something to do with it. And it might be like, whoa, how you're jumping to conclusions. But like in the dream, it made sense because, again, Zion in this dream is a menace. A whole menace. If you listen to the other dream, not Between the Sun and the Stars, Bird Set Free, if you listen to that dream, Zion is like the sweetest little dude ever, but in this dream he's a fucking menace. In this dream I noticed that like he had always been like in our college days and everything, he had always been like a little bit too possessive over Clementine and over Winter and over Caden. He'd always been very possessive over them, always kind of controlling how they dressed and everything. Like the moment Caden became friends with Zion, he started changing how he dressed. The moment Clementine became friends with Zion, all of a sudden she changed the way she was acting. Same thing with Winter. He'd always been like that, you know? And so the moment I see the gun, I immediately look over at Winter and I'm like, Winter, come stand next to me. And Winter's like, what? Because she's standing next to Caden. And I guess the rest of them didn't see the gun. So I'm like, Winter, come stand next to me, please. And she's like, what? And I'm like, Winter, come stand next to me. And she's like, okay. And so she comes near me and I grab her hand and like I pull her slightly behind me. And I look over at Clementine and I'm like, Clementine, come stand next to me. And Clementine's like, what? No, I'm not going to come stand next to you. Not after what you did. And I'm like, Clementine, I'm sorry for what I did. Okay, I can explain more on why I did it, but I need you to come stand next to me. And Zion is like, she doesn't have to do anything you want. And I'm looking over at Caden, and Caden is like looking over at me very concerned, and he starts to walk towards me and he's like, Hawa, is everything okay? And I'm like, Clementine, please come stand next to me. please come stand next to me. Okay. I can explain everything to you. Just come stand next to me. And she's like, no, I'm not going to stand next to you. Okay. Not after what you did. I'm not standing next to you. Stop asking me that. And I'm like, Clementine, please. I promise I will apologize for everything. I will explain everything, but I need you to come stand next to me right fucking now. And she looks at me surprised because, like, this is the first time I'm, like, snapping at her. And I'm like, okay, Clementine, please just come stand next to me. Please come stand next to me. And she's like, why? Why should I stand next to you? And Zion is looking at me, and the look that he gave me chills down my spine. Like, he's looking at me like he knows that I figured it out. And I look at her, and I look at her and Zion, and I'm like, Zion has a gun. Please come stand next to me, okay? He has a gun, and I want you to come stand next to me. Can you please come stand next to me? And Caden's like, is that true, Zion? Do you have a gun? And he's like, of course not. No, why would I have a gun? Why would I have a gun? Clemmy, do you really believe Hawa? She's been lying the entire time. She's the reason why we were kept apart. It's okay. Like, come stand next to me. And Clementine looks at me, and then looks at Zion, and she looks at Winter and Cadence and their reaction, and Zion comes to put his hand on her, and she immediately backs away, and she's like, don't touch me. And she makes her way towards me, and I immediately grab her hand and pull her behind me. And I'm looking at Zion, and he's fuming. He's just standing there quiet, staring at me. And I'm like, Zion, look, just let us out, okay? Just let us go. Okay, like, you don't have to do this. And he's like, I don't have to do this? I don't have to do this, but you're making me. And he pulls out his little pew-pew, his little gun. And immediately, like, Winter and Clementine start to freak out. And Caden puts his hands up and he's like, whoa, dude, calm down. And he's like, I am calm. I am more than calm, okay? This is only out here so you guys know to take me seriously, okay? But I won't hurt any of you. I promise. Clemmy. And he looks over at Clementine. And he's like, Clemmy, you know I would never hurt you. You know I would never hurt you. So come stand next to me. It's okay. You're safe. Come stand next to me. And I look over at Clementine. And she's literally tears in her eyes. And she's shaking her head rapidly. And she's like, no. And he's like, Clemmy, it's fine. You're fine. Come stand next to me. And I'm like, Clementine doesn't have to do anything she doesn't want to. And he's like, shut the fuck up, Hawa. Shut up. Clemmy, come stand next to me, okay? Let's just talk things out. You know I would never hurt you. I'm sorry, okay? This is all Hawa's fault when you really think about it. This is all of her fault, right? And he starts to go on this huge rant about how basically it's all my fault because I wrote the letters. And if I never wrote the letters, then they would still be friends. Maybe they would be something more and everything. And as he's talking to her and trying to, like, convince Clementine to, like, walk near him, to stand next to him, Caden slowly inches his way towards Zion. And I look over at Caden and I'm, like, shaking my head, like, don't do that. Like, he's gonna hurt you. And he looks over at me and he, like, he gives me this look as, like, as if to say, like, I'm trying to, like, prove to you that I'm a changed person kind of thing, right? And so he, like, gets close to Zion and tries to grab the gun, right? And it results in them getting into a scuffle and Zion shooting Caden and killing him. And so he shoots Caden, he falls to the floor, the three of us scream and we're like, oh my god. And he's like, shut up, shut the fuck up. And points his gun at us. And he's like, look what you made me do. You made me kill Caden. He's my best friend. And you made me kill him because you didn't listen to me. Clementine, stop being so hard-headed and stand next to me. And Clementine is, like, sobbing. And she's like, no, Zion, I don't want to do that. And he's like, of course you do. Of course you do because you love me and I love you. So come stand next to me. And so I try to run over to Caden to see if he's okay, only to get pistol whipped by Zion in the face. And so I fall on the floor hard and I'm bleeding from my head and I'm, like, trying to get up, but I can't. And Clementine, like, screams. She's like, Zion, stop, please stop. And he's like, I'll stop the moment you come and stand next to me. Okay, just stand next to me. I'm a reasonable guy. says the guy with a gun in his hand, killing people. He's like, I'm a reasonable guy. I just want you to stand next to me so we can talk. I think there was a misunderstanding. You know, the person I was in college is not the person that I am now. I'm better. I'm better. You just have to let me prove it to you. And she's literally sobbing. And Winter is just like looking between like the entire scene, right? And I'm coming in and out of consciousness. And as I am, I can hear Zion go, look, Clemmy, just come stand next to me or I'm gonna shoot Hawa in her fucking face. Do you want that? And she's like, no, no. And he's like, exactly, you don't want that. So come stand next to me. Come stand next to me right now. And so he continues to yell, but everything gets blurry for me and like his voice comes in and out. And then I woke up. I know. I'm sorry. This dream doesn't have a happy ending or an ending at all. I don't know how it ends because I woke up afterwards. But yeah, that's the dream memorial. This dream is just crazy. It's just really crazy. It's definitely inspired by that one visual novel. Visual novel. It's definitely inspired by that one visual novel that I read from Romance Club. I'm gonna actually look up the name for it real quick. Okay, so the visual novel that I read was Shadows of Saint Four. And so the first part of the dream all the way up to getting trapped in the church was definitely from the visual novel. And then the rest is kind of just like unhinged. I don't know why Zion was acting like that. He's usually pretty chill in my dreams. In this dream, he was not. He was not chill at all. He was a menace. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that dream. I'm sorry if my storytelling was a little bit off. Weird. I do apologize. Next week's dream is going to be the last solo dream I'm doing before we get into our next dream series called Utopia. Again, another dream that's been a long time coming. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. Fun fact, that dream also has to do with the solar eclipse a little bit, kind of, sort of. So yeah, I'm also posting a bonus episode on Friday rating the foods in the dreams that I've already shared on the podcast. So I'm going to be going through every dream that I've shared on the podcast and rating the foods that I've eaten in this dream. And there's already a food item that is on the number one spot. And that dream I never shared on the podcast. I don't think I will. It's really cringy. But I just want to share the scene where I ate that food. Because that food was like a 12 out of 10. It was so freaking good. And yeah. So thank you so much for staying up with me. And let's go on to the outro. Thank you so much for staying up with us. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @_itsjustadreampodcast. Over there you'll find so much cool content. Oh my god. There's so much cool content on there. You can find reels of episodes that I post. So if I post a new episode, I usually post a little reel to accompany it. There's dream facts. There are dream quotes. There are sleep facts. There are sleep quotes. So many things. I post a little episode alert for every episode. And the song that I use for the episode alert usually hints like what the episode is about. And I think they're really cool. I might be the only one who thinks they're cool, but I think they're really cool. And after I post an episode alert, I spend like 30 minutes on my story, shitposting. So if you want to see that, you got to follow me on Instagram. Also, if something happens that makes me like not like stop posting and go on a hiatus, you'll get updated from there. If you have any crazy, wild, scary dreams that you want us to analyze, email them to us at itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com. Again, itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com, and we'd be more than happy to hear those crazy dreams. Have you ever had a dream about people in your life where they act like not themselves? Have you ever had a dream that was very melodramatic and it's giving like a Family Guy? Not Family Guy, like a family sitcom show? Let me know. Thank you to my $5 tier Patreon user, Leah Eckhart. You are my sun, you are my moon, and you are all my stars. Thank you so much for your support. I truly appreciate it. If you want to hear your name at the end of every episode till the day I die, maybe consider pledging to my Patreon. I don't have that much content up on there. So if you pledge, it's because you want to support me. Do not pledge if you do not have money. I will be fine. Do not do it. And yeah, last but not least, be sure to check the links in the description box below on ways you can help all around the world. There are links to help with the war that's going on in Ukraine. There are links to help with the genocide that's going on in Gaza, the genocide that's going on in Sudan, in the Republic of Congo, in Yemen, so many places, and so many other links on other social issues around the world. As I say in every episode, I think it's important to uplift the voices of those who are being silenced, and amplifying those voices and helping whenever we can. You do not have to donate money. Simply educating yourself on what's going on around the world, sharing that information can help as well. There are a bunch of links on ways you can support without donating money, so don't use that as an excuse, okay? And yeah, that's all I have for you, my sun, moon, and stars. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you for staying up with me tonight. I'm so glad that we get to have our little sleepovers every single week. So much fun. I'm really excited to share next week's dream. And yeah, with all that being said, sweet dreams, sleep tight. I love you. Good night. We'll see you soon till we dream again. Bye-bye.
About the greatest gift.